Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Tzadi Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We open with an announcement. Today's shiur, Daf Tzadi Ches, will begin from the fourth line from the top of Daf Tzadi Ches Omid Beis. For Daf Yomi purists that want to begin at the beginning of Daf Tzadi Ches, you will find that as part of our Daf Tzadi Zayin recording at the 32-minute, 38-second mark of the Daf Tzadi Zayin audio Gemara Markings Daf Yomi recording. As a result of the content and topic that was featured during the Daf Tzadi Zayin Shir, it was we'll say impossible to have stopped the learning at any point earlier than this, where we spilled over onto Tzadi Ches Omid Beis. So that having been said, our shir begins from Daf Tzadi Ches Omid Beis, four lines from the top, with a quote from the Mishnah. Before we learn the actual text, we glance at the side where we have the nosei, the topic heading, which reads, Eich nitan lishava b'mishnah. How is it possible to swear as was suggested in the Mishnah, Bezeh oimer shu'ula, Bezeh oimer shu'ura, where the owner claimed that the borrowed animal is the one that died, and the renter responded that it wasn't the borrowed one that died, but rather it was the rented one that died, and hence I am exempt. The problem is, based on rules concerning oaths, one will not swear unless Hare Masha Toano Loi Haidalo Umasha Haidalo Loi Toano. In the English vernacular, you are familiar with the expression maybe apples and oranges. Well, that expression has deep roots, if you will, where the claim is, let us say the example that you find in Gemara's elsewhere is someone claims you owe me chitim, you owe me wheat. And the person claimed from says, no, I don't owe you wheat, I owe you barley. That is an example of ma she to'ano. To'ano means that which was being claimed from the party. Lo hodelo is not the same variety as that which the claimed party responds. So that even though we have the concept of Moida b'miksas chayev in a shvua, as we discussed it extensively during our previous shiur, where a partial confession of a claim results in taking a shvua and taking an oath. However, that's provided that the partial confession is of the same material, the same variety as that which was being claimed. In our Mishnah, you have a claim of the borrowed animal dying, and the response is no, the rented animal is that which died. So how can the Mishnah say under those circumstances that an oath is taken? So now let's see this in the Gemara. Four lines from the top of Tzadi Ches Omid Beis. Ze oimer shu'ula, the owner claims the borrowed animal died. Ve ze oimer shu'uran, the client or the customer says it was the rented animal that died. Yishavah ha-socher she'schura meisa. The Mishnah said that the customer swears that it was the rented animal that died and would then thereby be exempt. Ve'amai. We ask, how can there be a shvua? Mashatanai loy haydaloi. That which was being claimed is not that which was being confessed or responded to. Umasha haydaloi loytano. And that which he confessed or responded to is not that which was being claimed. There's a girsa in the Gra that suggests that these words, Masha de Lotano, is we'll say, an unnecessary expression based on Rashi. However, there are other commentaries that accept it. Omar Ula. So Ula answers, what are the circumstances behind the Mishnah's saying that an oath is taken? Al Yadei Gilgal. Through something called Gilgal, Gilgal Shvua. Gilgal Shvua literally is the rolling of one oath onto another. If you can establish that there is the basis of a Torah oath, from the individual claimed from has to swear anyway for some other reason that we'll say can be justified or obligated by the Torah. Once he is in the, we'll call the swearing mode, he can be made to take a second oath, the nature of which could not be the basis of an oath if it was in isolation. This concept of Gilgal Shvua has a basis in the Torah, in Parshas Soita. Rashi quotes the pasuk that says, V'omra ha'isha amen, amen. We're not going to expand upon that, but for those who are familiar, so that citation is for the purpose of reminding you of that. The question then is, in our Mishnah, is there some... some Torah-based shvua that the customer is obligated to swear? And we will see, yes. We're dealing with shomrim in our Mishnah. We're dealing with the four shomrim, the four different kinds of shomrim that we spoke about in our previous shiur, the shomer chinam, shomer socher, socher, and shoel, particularly the socher and the shoyel. The Torah demands of a shomer, if he wants to gain exemption from having to compensate for the loss of the item, for the mishap, I say loss because the word loss has a general connotation. Like, for example, if an animal dies, it's also called a loss. And there's the specific use of the word loss as in lost and found, lost item. But here we're dealing with a loss, and a shomer wants to gain exemption. So the Torah says that a shomer must swear to back up his claim. There's a machlokas, and we spoke about this extensively in our previous year, whether the shomer has to have a partial confession and partial denial in order to generate the shvua. Rashi points out here that we're not working with that approach, but very simply, if a shomer wants to gain exemption, he will have to swear to substantiate or establish his claim. In our Mishnah, you have the renter the customer wants to gain exemption on the basis that the cow that died was the rented one. In order for him to enjoy that exemption, he would have to swear to that effect. Once he has to swear to that effect, based on the Torah obligation, on the Torah's obligating him, he can be made to swear a shvua that would not be able to be made if it were in isolation. So now let's see the Gemara. Ula tells us, Al Yadei Gilgal. The Omar Le, the owner of the animal, says to the customer, Ishtabali izu mihas de kedarka mesa. You're claiming exemption based on the fact, based on the claim that the animal died in a normal fashion. Even if the animal is not like I'm claiming from you that it was the borrowed animal, but even it's as if you claim that it was the rented animal, you would have to swear this anyway, that kedarka mesa, it died in a normal fashion, which is a form of ones, which is the basis of exemption for a renter. So you're going to have to swear that anyway, that kedarka mesa, umigu de mishtaba de kedarka mesa, and since he's going to have to swear that it died in a normal fashion, mishtaba nami de schura mesa, he can be made to swear that it was the rented animal that died, even though the claim is a claim of a different nature, namely claim is that the borrowed animal is the one that died. Ze omer eini yodea, veze omer, we saw in the continuation of Mishnah, eini yodea, and the Mishnah ruled that it's split. The nosei slash mivneh is a structural note that appears on the side in our margin, features a triangle marking, because if you are scanning ahead in the Gemara, an action that we always recommend while learning with the Gemara markings, the mark Gemara, get a bird's eye view of the sugya beforehand, you will have noticed triangles. They are four she'elos, four questions, v'inyin bebailim. The exemption of bebailim that we've spoken about extensively already in our last few dapim, Benuyim Echad al Hasheni. These questions are based one on the other, meaning each succeeding question is based on the earlier question, with a possible exception of the last one of these. B'mikrim shel shinui ramois chiyuv be'emtza tkufas hashimush. We will see situations where there are changes in the different levels of obligation in the middle of the use period. Shirak shlav horishon hoya bebailim, where only at the very first stage the owner of the item, the borrowed item or the rented item, was in service of the customer. But as time went on, there was a change in use status, and at that change, the owner was no longer in service of the customer. Hashela tiyeh, the question will be, Haim haptur bebailim shoya b'aschola, will the exemption of owner's presence that was at the very outset, b'meshicha rishona, the first, say, drawing of the animal, mamshich afilu kishemishtane ramas chiyuvoi shel hamishtamesh, will it change even if there was a change in level of obligation of the user? An example would be he borrowed an item initially with the owner in his service, in service of the borrower, and before returning the borrowed item, the customer decided to continue use of the animal through renting the animal. And at that point, the owner was no longer in service of the customer. So if you have someone that there was a transition from she'ela to schirus, and it true, the owner was there at the outset, but he departed from the scene at a point in which the customer's status change from borrower to renter. Does the customer continue to enjoy the initial exemption of the bailim? In our Gemara markings, you'll see, if you continue scanning the page, you'll notice the use of a dashed underline, which will be highlighting she'ela or sochra, she'ela or sochra, borrowing versus renting. And we did point out earlier that the questions will proceed in the build-up fashion, meaning im timtzilomar, if you make an assumption concerning the previous question, we will be able to continue with the succeeding question. So you'll see that question two is built up on question one, and question three is built up on number two. Now the Gemara. Ze oimer eini yodeh, ve ze oimer eini yodeh. We said, the Mishnah said, Cholkin ha moni sumchis hi. The Mishnah is authored by whom? By sumchis. The Omar, moman amuto besofek cholkin. Money, financial claims that exist in doubt, where the claim or the debt is in doubt. How do you resolve it? Cholkin, splitting. Boy, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal. As the Gemara proceeds, you don't see necessarily any connection between having established that Momen Amuta B'Sofek Cholkin as our Mishnah being authored by Sumchis, but rather questions, as we said in our introductory remarks, questions concerning Bebailim. So Rabbi Abba asks, Shoalo Bebailim. He started off as a borrower with the owner in his service. Sochro shelo bebailim, and as time went on, he continued using the animal in a rental fashion. Mahu, what is the din? Mi amrinon, what is the din, of course, regarding the exemption that the bebailim affords in the event that, let us say, during the rental period, the animal was stolen. A standard renter has to compensate for theft, but if the owner is in his service, he is exempt. Is that the case over here? Mi amrinon she'elo l'chuda kaima u'schirus l'chuda kaima, that we look at each use period separately, and therefore, if you accept that, there would be no bebailim. The owner was in service of the customer only during the beginning of the shale of the borrowing period, not there during the renting period. Oy dilma, or maybe schirus b'she'ein la meishach shaychi. Schirus, a socher, a renter, has obligations upon him, and the obligations that he has are certainly found in the case of a borrower. The borrower has all of the obligations of a renter and more. So that maybe we should view the schirus as simply an extension of the borrowing period. All, as we said, all of the obligations that a socher has, that a renter has, are included in the obligations that a shoel, that a borrower has. And those obligations set in already at the initial borrowing period where the owner was present. The Gemara says, "The hamechayev beginevav aveda." A renter is obligated to compensate in the event of theft or loss, and certainly a borrower. And at the beginning, at the borrowing time, the owner was present. So if you say that schirus, that renting, is simply an extension of borrowing, then the owner, the ptur, the exemption of a bailim, will exist. Im timtzilomar schirus b'she'elo meishach shaychi, if you accept the base of the aleph odilma base structure that we just saw, if you accept the second approach, that schirus, that renting is an extension, what about the following? Sochro b'bailim, things here are flipped around. The initial arrangement was one of renting. As time went on, the customer was allowed to continue its use without renting, simply borrowing it. So it started off sochro b'bailim, the rental started with the owner in service of the renter. As time went on, the customer continued using it as a borrowed animal. However, shalo shalo b'bailim, the owner was no longer in his service. Mahu, what it would then be in this case. Aleph, and then you see later, oh, Dilma is squiggle under, and as usual, Beis. Aleph, Sho'alo b'schirut, Vadai, She'elo b'schirut, Vadai lo shaycha. It's certainly, it is certain that borrowing is not a continuation of schirus. Schirus has more limited responsibility than borrowing, and therefore you can't view borrowing as an extension, being that borrowing is more expanded. It's not contained within schirus. So borrowing is certainly not a continuation, and on those on this side of analysis, we would not be able to say that during the Shela period he can benefit from the Bebailim that existed at during the at the beginning of the Schirus. Oidilma, or maybe came on the Shaycha b'Miktsas, came on the Shaycha b'Kula Domi. Since there is some overlap, Miktsas partial, Shaycha partial similarity, connection between the two. If we speak of a socher being obligated to compensate for Geneva and Aveda, a Shoel is also obligated in that. So there is this, there is that connection, though a Shoel, a borrower, has more obligations even for Ones, but since there is this partial association, we will allow ourselves to say it is a, the borrowing is a continuation of the Schirus. And if you say that, then you will have the benefit of Bebailim. And if the animal dies during the She'ela period, the customer will be exempt. Now, im timtze loymar loy amrinon kevan deshaycha b'miksas kemad deshaycha b'kula domi. If you take the approach like Aleph, namely that we do not view the She'ela, though it has a partial similarity to Schirus, we will nevertheless not view the Shela as a continuation, and there would be no Bebailim. What about this? Number three. This, you'll see, I call this a sandwich arrangement. It starts off Shela Bebailim, or Shoalo Bebailim, Vesochra Shelo Bebailim, Vechosa Veshoalo Mahu. It starts off and finishes with a borrowing arrangement. In the middle, there was a rental that took place. So if you, just for to illustrate this, take a month, 30 days, a month's time. First 10 days of the month, he was, the customer was borrowing the animal. From day 11 till through day 20, he rented the animal. And from day 21 through 30, he borrowed the animal. Mahu, what are we to say about this case? I just want to emphasize, the beginning, the She'ela, which was at the beginning, was Bebailim. The owner was present. Mahu. Hodar asyo lo She'ela deduchto. Do we say that the second She'ela period, let's say, resurrects the original Shela period, which was Bebailim, so that if the animal dies during that the last 10 days in our example, the customer will be exempt, because that second Shela period resurrects the first Shela period, which was Bebailim. Oy Dilma. Or maybe Afsiko le Schirus Beni Ubeni. Or maybe the Schirus that was in the interim blocks them, separates the two Shela periods from joining up with one another. And now we go to question four, which is also a, we'll call it a sandwich situation. And you notice we use the diamond to highlight the return to the original. We highlight the word v'chozar, where we return to the original arrangement. So in question four, you'll see that the she'ela is sandwiched in the middle, whereas in question three, schirus was sandwiched in the middle. Sochra bebailim, the initial rental was with the owner. V'sho'ala And then there was a borrowing period. V'chozar v'sochra, and then there was a rental again. Mahu. Mi amrinon asya lo schirus l'duchta. Do we say that schirus comes back to its place, meaning to its original bebailim status, and he would be able to enjoy the exemption of a bebailim? Oidilmo afsikale she'ela ubeni ubeni. Or maybe we say that the she'ela, the borrowing period that arose in the middle, blocks the two. Teku. This remains unresolved. The Mishnah. Before we continue with the Mishnah, we glance at the side at our topic heading, which reads very briefly, Mimosai Shoyel Mishayev. From what point does a borrower become obligated? We'll see this in the context of the borrowed item being sent via an intermediary from the owner to the borrower. A double underlining will appear in the Mishnah, and it's under our Mivna, our structural note. We note that it highlights Omar Lo HaShoel or Omar Lo HaMashil. We'll say the speaker is emphasized, either the borrower or the owner. The Mishnah itself, you can see if you look into the text in our marked Gemaras, we have Roman numerals that break the Mishnah into different parts. So we open the Mishnah, the Roman numeral number one, Hashoyel es hapora, someone is interested in borrowing a cow. The Shocha lo, and the owner sent it. The owner, we'll say, took the initiative of sending it, biad bino, biad avdo, biad shlucho. The owner sent it with his son, with his slave, or with his agent. Hoy, biad bino, biad avdo, biad shlucho, shel shoel, or through the son of the borrower, slave of the borrower, or an agent of the borrower. Umesa, and the animal died en route. Potter, the borrower is exempt. The emphasis here is that the owner, as we said before, took the initiative of sending it through these people. The customer, the receiver, he didn't request the transport of the animal this way. We take a look at the Rashi that you find on the first wide line under the Gemara text. Obiad beno biad avdo biad shlucho shel shayel umeso poter im meso baderech, if the animal died en route, meaning before it got to the actual domain of the borrower. Plingi bo rabov rav chista bagezel kama, in Maseches Bava Kama, there is a disagreement between Rav and Rav Chista. Rav Chista mitaretz lo lahai shlucho de shoel de masnisen. The reference to agent in our Mishnah is not, we'll say, it's not a formal type of agency, but rather b'schiro l'kitoi shedor b'beso, a worker that happens to live in the house of the borrower. Aval ein edim shushlucha, there are no witnesses that he was appointed by the borrower to be an agent. Deika edim have shliach v'chayav hashel boinsen mishem osolo. Had the shlucho mentioned in the Mishnah, the agent of the borrower, been a formal agent, and we say formal meaning someone who was appointed as an agent in the presence of witnesses, well, then he would be like an extension of the arm of the borrower. So that once you give the cow to the agent, the formal agent, and the animal would die en route, the borrower would be obligated to compensate. Rabbi Omar Omer, Afilu aso shliach beidim lav shliachu. Rabbo disagrees with Rav Chisda there in Bava Kama and says that even if he were a formally appointed agent, an agent appointed in the presence of witnesses, that doesn't make him into an agent l'hischayev al yodoy ba'insin, so much so as to obligate the borrower to compensate for ones, for loss beyond his control that happens en route. Dehachi kamale, the shoel, the borrower, in establishing this individual as an agent, was simply making a statement. He was saying as follows: Inish mehem nahu, this guy is a trustworthy fellow. If you, the owner, want to send it with him, shadar, so send it with him. But not to the extent that I, the borrower, will become obligated for ones haderech, for a loss that happens en route. Let's turn back to the Mishnah. Section 2, Roman numeral number 2 of the Mishnah. Omar lo hashoyel, the borrower says explicitly to the owner, Shilchali biad bini biad avdi biad shluchi, send it with my son, my slave, or my agent. Oy biad bincha biad avdecha biad shluchacha, or send it with your son, your slave, or your agent. Oy, another scenario similar to this. Shom aloha mashiel, the owner suggests, Hareini Mishalchaloch, I am going to send the item, the cow, to you. Biad bini, biad avdi, biad shluchi, o, biad bincho, biad avdecho, biad shluchacho. V'yom alei hashoyel shlach, and the borrower says, yes, send it. V'sholcha, and the owner sent it. Umei son, the animal died en route. Chayav, he, the borrower, is chayav. In these cases, all the cases under Roman numeral number 2, the once the owner gives it to the intermediary, I don't want to use the word shaliach because that is a reference here to a specific one of these examples, but it really applies to all of them. Since the borrower, since it was done, the transfer was from owner to intermediary, was done at the behest of the borrower, it's considered in the borrower's domain at that point. And therefore, the death of the animal en route will obligate the borrower to compensate. And the Mishnah concludes by saying, V'chein b'shah she'mach zira. And similarly, at the point of return, if the borrower sent the item back to the owner with his son or the owner's son, a slave or agent, it's not considered as if it departed from the shoel's domain, from the borrower's domain, until it gets to the hands of the owner. That is if the shoel, if the borrower took the initiative of sending it back that way without the owner requesting thusly. However, if the owner said, send back the item to me, or the borrower raised that as a possibility and the owner said, yes, send it that way, so then, once the item is transferred from the borrower to the intermediary, since it was at the behest of the owner, it then becomes like in the domain of the owner, and the borrower would be exempt. Exempt mean, of course, exempt from ones haderech, from any mishap that befalls en route back to the owner. We continue to the top of the Tzadi Tes. The Gemara here is accompanied by a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. It indicates to look back to Tzadi Ches Amud Beis. At that point, we saw in the Mishnah the following, Biad Avdoi Chayov. The owner said, I am sending the item with my slave. So the Mishnah ruled that the borrower, if the animal dies en route while it's in the protection under the supervision of the owner's slave, if the animal dies en route to the borrower, since the borrower said send it that way, the borrower is obligated. But we ask, biyad avdoi chayov, if it was sent with the slave of the owner, are you telling me that the borrower will be obligated to compensate for death en route? Yad eved, yad rabo. The hand of the eved is like the hand of the master. And it would be then as if it was taken by the master, the owner, the owner of the item himself, to the borrower. Why should the borrower be chayav, be obligated to compensate for the death of an animal that's in the possession, under the control of the owner himself? And we're saying here the slave of the owner is like the owner himself. To answer this question, why is the borrower obligated? Omar Shmuel, Be'evet Ivri, we're talking about a Jewish servant. The lo kuni le gufe, where the owner doesn't have an actual, let's say, legal possession of the Jewish servant in a full sense, as is the case with a heathen slave. So the Eved Ivri would not be described as what we said, Yad Eved Yad Rabo. So it's not considered as if the owner is still with the animal. Rav Omar Afilu Teimo Be'Eved Kenani. Even if you take the approach that we're dealing with a heathen slave, Nasa Ka'imele, still we would view this where the borrower said, yeah, send it with your heathen slave. It would be tantamount to the borrower saying, Hakisha b'makil v'itavo, hit the animal with a stick and it will come. If we view things like that, then once it leaves the courtyard of the owner, it is said to be in the domain of the borrower. He, the borrower, was willing to bind himself to Meshabed Nafshe, as Rashi says, at the point that it leaves the domain of the owner. We ask, Mesve, Hashoel Para Vesholchaloi. Someone is borrowing a cow and it was sent. Biad Benoi Biad Shlucho Chayav. Sent through the son of the owner or the agent of the owner, and the animal dies en route, there is obligation on the part of the borrower. Biad avdoi poter, sent through the slave of the owner, the borrower is exempt. And we're understanding this to mean even if the borrower said send it with your slave. So here you see Biad Avdo Potter. In our Mishnah, we saw Biad Avdo through the agency of the owner's slave, Chayav. We saw an obligation on the part of the borrower. Bishlamalo Shmuel, as far as Shmuel's approach to explaining the Mishnah, why in the Mishnah it said Chayav, and here in this Bryce it says, Potter, we can make sense of things. Masnis in our Mishnah that said the borrower is chayav, is obligated for oynes haderech. Be'evet Ivri, as Shmuel said before, it was sent with a Jewish servant, and as such we can't say it's as if the owner continued with it. Bryce saw, the source that we just read, where we dash on Avdei Poter, be Eved Kenani. The reason that the borrower is exempt is because it was sent by the owner through his heathen slave, and Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo, we would view it as if the owner is accompanying the animal, and of course, we would thereby exempt the borrower for Oynes Hadera, for any death of the animal en route. Elo LaRav Kashya, but according to Rav, both the Mishnah and the Brisa are going to be understood as an Eved, as involving an Eved Kenani. So why in the Mishnah does it say Chayev, and in the Brisa it says Potter? Omar Loch Rav. Rav will explain. Lo Tema, don't say that the Mishnah, where it said that the borrower is Chayev, when it was sent through the slave of the owner, don't say, as we said before, Naase Ki Omale. It's as if the borrower said, hit it with a stick, Eloima, but rather the Mishnah is saying that that's exactly what happened. Biomarle, the borrower explicitly said, Akisha b'makavi tovo. He said, hit the animal with a stick and it will come. As far as the slave is concerned, so the slave continued walking with it, but that doesn't reduce the level of obligation. Rashi, across from here, a line or two up, says, Lo tema ki detartso Rav nase ke'oimer loy. Don't say, like we said before, in Rav explaining the Mishnah, it's as if the borrower said, hit it with a stick. Elo, Rav muki lo lemasis in barmalei. Rav will set up the Mishnah where the borrower said, Hekisha b'makia v'itovo acharai, hit it with a stick and it will come to me. The borrower was willing to obligate himself from the point that it left the courtyard of the owner. And because the owner happened to send his heathen slave along with the animal, that doesn't create exemption for the borrower. So that's as far as the Mishnah is concerned. There, the borrower said explicitly, hit it with a stick, and it'll leave, and it'll come to me. And in a sense, in effect, I am obligating myself for Tainas HaDerech. The Itmar, and we continue elaborating on this, Hashileni Porascha, someone requests, will you loan to me your cow? V'yomale Biatmi, and the owner says, well, who should I send it with? V'yomale Hakisha B'makiv Atovo, well, just hit it with a stick and it'll come to me. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Baravu, Omar Rav, and here we want to emphasize Rav's name. Kevon Shiyotsa Mirshus Mashil Mesa Chayav, once it leaves the domain of the owner, the borrower is Chayav. The Shoyal, the borrower is Chayav, is obligated to compensate. Nemo Misayale. Can we say that the following Taneig source supports this? Hashileni Porascha. Borrower says, will you loan me your cow? V'yomalei, biadmi. Owner says, who should I send it with? V'yomalei. Borrower says, Akisha b'makavi tovo. Hit it with a stick and it will come. Kevon she'osa mirshus mashil umeso hayav. Once it leaves the domain of the owner, the borrower becomes obligated to, and he'll have to compensate for the death of the animal while even en route. Well, this would seem to be almost word for word what Rav said. So certainly this should be a support, a Tanaic support. And surprisingly, not so Omar Ravashi. Ravashi says there's no support to Rav's teaching from here. Hocha b'mayaskinon. This source is speaking about a very specific circumstance. Kegon shoysa chatzero shel shoyo lifni mi chatzero shel mashio. You have two courtyards, an outer courtyard and an inner courtyard. The outer courtyard is that of the owner of the animal. The inner courtyard is owned by the borrower. Dechi mishalcha lo vaday lohosamaz lo. In a case like that, where the animal is sent, remember he said, hit it with animal cum, it will inevitably come to the shoyel. Oh, well, under circumstances like that, there we can say that the shoyel, the borrower, becomes obligated once it leaves the domain of the owner. Once it leaves the domain of the owner, it's in the domain of the borrower. E hochi my lemengra. If this is the setup where the domain, the chotzer of the borrower, is within the chotzer, or is an extension of the chotzer of the owner, and the animal is not going anywhere else other than into the directly into the domain of the borrower, of course, when the animal leaves the domain of the owner into the domain of the borrower becomes obligated. I don't need a Tanaic source to describe the obligation of the borrower under circumstances like that that are so obvious. Lo, Sricha, no. I need to tell you that the borrower will obligate himself in this case. The Ika Gazaisa. Here we're going to be using the explanation found in the Ritva, who actually disagrees with Rashi. There are gazyaisa are corners, little hiding places, we'll say, according to the Ritva, between the domain, the chotzer of the owner, and the chotzer, the courtyard of the borrower. Mahu detema. Without this Tanaic source, I might have thought, lo somcha daite, the borrower isn't so secure, so certain that the animal is going to come to his courtyard. Dilma kaima hasam v'lo asya ozlo lahedya. Maybe it will the animal will remain in one of these gazyaisa, one of these little corners that exist between the borrower's courtyard and the owner's courtyard, and won't come directly into the borrower's courtyard. In other words, we have the borrower saying to the owner, "Hit your animal, and it'll come to me." Will the borrower obligate himself from the point that the animal leaves the courtyard of the owner? Maybe not. Maybe the borrower entertains the possibility of the animal getting stuck, so to speak, not coming into the borrower's courtyard. Kamash Malon, the Tanaic source tells us, the Samcha Daite, and even though you have this middle ground between the two courtyards, the borrower nevertheless has a sense of certainty, a sense of security that the animal will come directly from the borrower's, from the owner's courtyard into the borrower's courtyard, and he is willing to obligate himself to compensate for the death of the animal as soon as the animal leaves the courtyard of the owner. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.